Now let's continue on and see how that God will help us in all our circumstances, that we do not have to worry. We take it to God. We don't fret and stew because of what happens to other people. We look to God for his blessing, for his mercy, for his kindness, for his goodness, that we can trust in him, believe in him, have faith in him, and to realize that God loves us and is for us. All right, let's come to Psalm 37. Psalm 37 in verse 1. Now I want you to go through the whole 37th Psalm. Notice how it starts out. I like this. Do not fret yourself because of evildoers. That is, don't get frustrated. And do not be envious against the workers of iniquity, because their prosperity and their advancement and their peace is in great jeopardy. God has a way of taking care of them. Notice verse 2. For they shall soon be cut down like grass, and wither as the green herb. Here's what we're to do instead of worrying about the prosperity of the sinners and the wicked. Verse 3. Trust in the Lord. Now you see, that's the whole lesson. That's why on this last day of unleavened bread, we always go to the account of the Red Sea and the impossibility of the situation for them and how only God could deliver. Right here. Their problem was they didn't trust in God. So we need to. We need to trust in God, believe in God, and as it says here, and do good, dwell in the land, and cherish faithfulness. Now, rather than complain and moan and groan and look at all the difficulties and problems, and there are plenty of them out there, what we need to do is have the proper perspective with God's Spirit and his love. Verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, that's what God will do. That's a promise. Notice verse 5, how these go together. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. Now notice verse 3, trust in the Lord. Trust also into him, in him, and he will bring it to pass. God will. Now, let's come to Proverbs, the third chapter. We'll come back to some of these other psalms, because the psalms give us an awful lot of hope, awful lot of trust, awful lot of confidence in God's way and how we need to lead our lives. But here in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, is a wonderful and tremendous set of proverbs. Now let's apply this spiritually. Proverbs 3 and verse 1. My son, are we not the sons and daughters of God? Yes. Do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For they shall add length of days and long life and peace to you. God is offering us eternal life, to live forever. That's why we go through the things that we go through. See, the false Christianity of this world believes that once you believe in the Lord Jesus, everything is smooth and nice, and they just don't understand. Now, a lot of them are trying as best they can. But you see, they have got to come to the same situation in their lives that we do. And they've got to come to the point that they need to keep the commandments of God and love him. Like Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. All right. Verse 3, do not let mercy and truth forsake you, because that is what is going to help. Bind them around your neck, write them upon the tablet of your heart, the way that you think, the way that you feel. Now, a lot of people feel more than they think, and the ones who feel more than they think need to learn to think more. Then you have those who think and don't feel very much. And they need to learn to feel as well as continue thinking. Now here's what it will do, verse 4. And so you will find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. God will work it out. All right? Now notice here again, verse 5. Trust in the Lord. How? With all your heart. That's what we need to do. When we see these trials and difficulties come upon us, which they will. Now notice the warning, because we saw what happened to Israel when they decided to do it their way, when God said, no, you're not going to do it. And lean not to your own understanding. See, that's why we need to learn to think with the Word of God, think and understand with the Scriptures. We need to trust in God and have that relationship with him at all times through all things. See, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. It is God who has given us life. It is God who has provided these things for us. It is God who has given us his word. It is God who has given us his Holy Spirit. It is God the Father who loves us, and we belong to him, and Jesus Christ is our Savior, and he is the head of the church. All right, now notice. Again, another warning. Do not be wise in your own eyes. No. Even though it looks like it may be a profitable thing, always remember this. Satan comes with a benefit. So don't be wise in your own eyes. Be wise with the Word of God. Be wise with the truth of God. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Don't get trapped into any evil. It shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. That's what we need. Remember what he told the children of Israel concerning there about healing, about sickness, about disease? And yes, today we're living in a situation where that we need to learn how to take care of ourselves, take care of our bodies, take care of our health. We're entering into some very unknown waters with Obamacare and the health care that is coming. And so we need to learn to take care of ourselves, because they are going to try and mandate every kind of medication and procedure for every single disease under the sun. And the doctors will have no say-so in what needs to be. They will be told what to do. We better learn to take care of our lives and take care of our bodies the best we can. And of course, there are many things against us because of the way that the world is. But again, God will provide a way. Now notice, if we do that, it will be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of your increase, all your increase. And we need to remember that too, in spite of the difficulties and times that we are going through. Which reminds me, up to this point, I forgot to pause and take up the offering. So go ahead and do that if you haven't done it already. Go ahead and take up the offering after the sermon is over. Sorry about that, but the message is more important than the offering, because we need the spiritual strength and we need the spiritual determination, which comes from the lesson for this day. So let's continue on. You can take up the offering later. Let's go forward here. Now let's come back to Psalm 31. And here again, we can take a great deal of hope, but here's how we need to commit ourselves to God. And remember, as we go through all of these Psalms and the Psalms of David, that David was a man after God's heart. because he trusted in him, spite of all of his weaknesses and difficulties. Psalm 31. Let this also be part of your prayer. Now, what I suggest you do, if you have difficulties and problems you're being confronted with, you need to pray about it. You need to take the Psalms. You need to open it up and get on your knees and start reading some of these Psalms as a lead into your prayers. And ask God for the help and intervention and blessing which only he can give. Notice, verse 1, Psalm 31. In you, O Lord, have I taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. See, now it's not because of our righteousness. It's God's righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me quickly. See, deliverance, belief, faith, trust. Be my strong rock, a fortress of defense to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress, therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me up out of the net that they have hidden for me, for you are my strength. Yes, we have to have that strength of God. He will pull you out of the net. And even though it goes like this, you will escape. All right? Now notice, here's a prophecy of what Jesus said. Into your hands I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Now, keep that in mind. That is so good. That is so fantastic for us to know and understand. Now let's come back here to Psalm 27, just a page back here. Psalm 27. You know, it's amazing what David must have gone through to write all of these Psalms. Psalm 27, verse 13 and 14. Well, let's come back here to verse 11. Psalm 27 and verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord. That's what we want. Not our way, not what we think, but what God wants us to do. And lead me in a level path because of my enemies. Constant, sure, true, steady. That's what a rock is. Deliver me not over to the will of my enemies, for false witnesses have risen up against me, and he that breathes out violence. I would have fainted unless I had believed, that you have to have belief and faith, that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So here is the admonition. Wait for the Lord. Be of good courage, and he will make your heart strong. Yea, wait, I say, wait on the Lord. That's why prayer, asking for guidance and help, is exactly what needs to be. Now, we need let's come here to Psalm 100. Let's see which one we want. Psalm 115. All right. And these couple of Psalms that we're going to read here are really something. These are prayers of David's. What we need to do, how we need to think, how we need to understand things. All right? Psalm 115 and verse 9. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Now, we're spiritual Israel. We need to trust in the Lord. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. O you who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. Or you can put there the church and the people in it. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. He shall increase you more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed of the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. The heavens, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth he's given to the children of men. Now come over here to Psalm 118, just across the page, and we will find that this is really quite a psalm here. Let's come to verse 8. Nope. Let's come here to verse 5. All of these, sometimes, you know, you start out with a verse and then, oh, you need the one before that, and then you need the one before that, you need the one before that, and that's what we have here. Verse 5, I called upon the Lord in distress. Don't fret and stew and try and work it out your way. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. That is, if we're on God's side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Really, nothing. Isn't that what Jesus said? He said, don't fear those who are able to kill the body but can't kill the life. No. Verse 7. The Lord is for me as my helper. God will help us. Claim that. Therefore, I will look in triumph upon those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to trust in princes. See, a whole lot better. God knows. God understands. He will be there and he will help us. All right. Now let's come here to Psalm 33. And there are many, many other psalms. We hope to have for you soon the reading of the Psalms. Psalm 33. All right. This is really great. Now let's come here to verse 12. Psalm 33 and verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And you know, that's what the trouble is with the United States today. God is no longer our God. And he's left us adrift as a nation. We have to live in the middle of it with all the consequences going on all around us, see. He beholds, yes, the people he has chosen for his own inheritance. And we're the ones that God has chosen for his inheritance. That's us. God has a special something for every one of us beyond what we can ever, ever dream of. Because Jesus said that the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. All right, let's read on. Verse 13, God looks down from heaven. He beholds all the sons of men. From his dwelling place, he looks intently upon all the inhabitants of the earth. Together he fashions their hearts alike. He considers all their works. Now notice this. Our salvation must come from God. Our trust must be in God and not our own devices. Notice what he says here. The king is not saved by a great army. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall it deliver anybody by its great strength. We can't look to the physical things around us. We must look to God. We can't look to the circumstances because God can change them. But we have to look at how God wants us to handle all these circumstances. All right? Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon those who fear him, upon those who hope in his loving kindness to deliver their soul from death. Only God can deliver us. And to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in you. So that's the whole meaning of the day. Quite a thing that we need to do. Okay? Now let's see how Paul writes of this to Timothy. Quite a very interesting thing. Let's come to 2 Timothy, the first chapter. and let's see how we are to face these troubles and problems that come along, circumstances in our lives, how we are to do it. And God will help us and strengthen us in it because he's our helper, he's our rock, he's our shield, he's our fortress, and God is there for us in all circumstances. All right, 2 Timothy, the first chapter. Let's pick it up here in verse 3. Now, Timothy was very close to Paul. He likened him to his own son. Verse 3, I'm grateful to God whom I have been serving from the days of my forefathers with a pure conscience, because I never failed to remember you in my supplications day and night. Just a little sidebar on prayer. There are things we need to constantly pray about every single day, and in this case, night, day and night. Because you see, a vain repetition is by rote to say something like a rosary. Now that's a vain repetition, or a set prayer. But no, Paul prayed day and night and made supplications for him. Verse 4, as I recall your tears, I am longing to see you so that I may be filled with joy. When I remember the unfeigned faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am confident that it dwells in you also. For this reason, now, let's do this, brother. Let's ask God to help us to do this so we will have the strength and the power of God's Holy Spirit to help us, to see us, to lead us, to guide us. All right? For this reason, I admonish you to stir up the gift of God that is in you by the laying on of my hands. And how do we do that? By coming to God in prayer, in study, and seeing how God will help us by claiming the promises of God, asking God to stir us up, asking God to lead us, asking God to help us, and he will. Stir up the gift of God that is in you by the laying on of my hands, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mindedness. Now, this is what God has given to us, and this is what we need to claim, and this is how we need to react. And notice how Paul always points to the goal. Therefore, you should not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but jointly suffer with me for the sake of the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. And always understand the very thing of eternal life, brethren. That's what God has called us for, okay? Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. That's why we are here. That's why God has called us. And we live in the end of the age, so we can understand how sorely this world needs the salvation of God. Just look at things around the world. Just look at the difficulties that are at hand. And today, we can do this as never before in the history of the world, because we get everything instantly, don't we? Yes, we do. And look at the troubles, the wars, the problems, the frightful things that have been happening. That's why we need to draw close to God in prayer every single day. All right? Now, let's come and see some other things that he wants us to know, to understand. Let's realize what Paul went through. Let's understand that even his things that happened to him in prison were for the purpose of preaching the gospel and serving the brethren. And here in 2 Timothy, now, this is his last epistle and contains many admonitions to Timothy. Let's continue on here, okay? But, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the ages of time. Now think about that. The next time you see a scene of a camera looking down on a busy street, say in New York City or any other big city, and see all the people coming and going and coming and going, think about this. God has called us according to his purpose, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages of time. And let that be an inspiration to you, that God will lift you up and that God will help you and that God will strengthen you. Now notice, and Paul was writing from prison, and he knew, as you read in the fourth chapter, that his life was going to end real soon. Okay, verse 10. But has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has annulled death and has brought to light eternal life and incorruptibility through the gospel. That's why we do what we do, brethren. This is why everything is set to preaching the gospel, explaining the kingdom of God, our growing, our changing, our overcoming, and all of these things in our lives, see? Regardless of the circumstances around us. Okay? Then he says this, under which I was ordained a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher to the Gentiles, for which cause I am also suffering these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he has the power to keep what I have committed to him for that day. Always looking to the purpose and the goal and the end. Hold as a standard for doctrine the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good thing that was committed to you by the Holy Spirit that is dwelling in us. Now look at Paul's circumstances. In prison, everything against him, and a lot of people he thought were those who belonged to God. Notice what happened. Verse 15, you know this, he writes to Timothy, that all those who are in Asia have rejected me, an apostle of God rejected, of whom are Phygilius and Hermogenes. May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he frequently refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. For when he was in Rome, he searched for me very diligently and found me. Look at those circumstances. Look at what Paul says. Now, let's see what we need to do, brother. Let's come, and like we started in Exodus, the 14th chapter, we're going to end in Romans, the 8th chapter. Oh, before we go there, let's come to Philippians, the 1st chapter. Now, let's keep this in mind, because God is working in us, brethren, to perfect us, to bring us to the level of knowledge and understanding and love so that we can enter into eternal life. Now, he started a work in us, and he's going to finish it. Doesn't matter. I saw someone sent me a clipping of a woman who had celebrated her 75th Feast of Tabernacles. So she's getting close to the end of her life, but she has been faithful. And look at all that she has had to go through and endure. And remember, God will not abandon you. God will not leave you. God will not leave you high and dry. God will not forsake you. You may be tested. You may be tried. You may have difficulties. But God is with you even in the troubles. All right, Philippians 1. And let's begin here in verse 2. Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, direct from the throne of God to us. I thank my God of every remembrance of you, always making supplication with joy in my every prayer for you all, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. That's what we do, brethren. We need to not only love God, but love each other. We need to pray for each other. We need to encourage and help each other, more so as we see the day coming. But notice this. Here is a promise, and we need to claim this, and we need to grasp a hold of it, and we need to let this be part of our mind, our thinking, our hearts, our desire, and our trust in God, our belief in God, and the assurance that He is going to complete what He started. Verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to finish it. He is going to do it. And now let's go to Romans, the 8th chapter, and let's see what it has to be for us. And let's see how God is for us. And let's see how we can look at the circumstances and the things in the world, because we are the sons and daughters of God. We are led with the Holy Spirit of God. And just like the children of Israel were led across the Red Sea, God will lead us through all the difficulties and troubles and times that we are going to face. And we can do it with confidence, and we can do it with expectation. And we can do it by realizing that we don't need to look to the circumstances, but look to God, because God is always greater than the circumstances. All right, let's come down here to Romans 8 and verse 28. Here's the promise. This is what we need to keep in mind. And we know, now, we need to know this. We need to understand it. We need to realize it. This way, we can handle the difficulties and cope with it, see? We know that all things, everything that there is, work together for good to those who love God. Now, that's why we always emphasize, love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being. Because God the Father has called you, given you His Spirit, has begotten you for eternal life. To those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, which we have been, haven't we? His very own purpose, before the ages of time, as Paul said in 2 Timothy, the first chapter. Just think about it. God has called you to something greater than can ever happen in the entire world. So don't look at the circumstances. Look to God. Because whom he did foreknow. And he foreknows us. That is, foreknow us before the resurrection. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his own Son, that he might be the firstborn among brethren. Many brethren. We are the church of the firstborn, see? Now here's a promise. Predestined, these he also called, and you answered the call. And whom he called, these he also justified. You're put in right standing with God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Now, this comes in two ways. Number one, receiving the Holy Spirit of God, you have been glorified in receiving it. Number two, He is glorified because when we are resurrected, we will receive a glorious spiritual body and spiritual mind, okay, as glorified. Now think of this. Look at all the circumstances around. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Nobody. He who did not spare even his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how shall he not also grant us all things together with him? Who shall bring an accusation against the elect of God? Doesn't matter what they say. God is there for us. God will deliver us. That's why we trust in him. God is the one who justifies. Who is the one that condemns? It is Christ who died, but rather who is raised again, who is even now at the right hand of God, and who is also making intercession for us. And with the Spirit of God, our prayers go up to God. They come right before the throne of God, and as it shows in the book of Revelation, chapter 4 and chapter 7 and 8, that our prayers come right up to the golden altar of God. And the 24 elders are there who probably help answer the prayers. They are delegated authority by God to do so. But our prayers go to God because he loves us. He's given us his Spirit. He has called us, see? And Christ is making intercession for us. Now think of this. Think of these circumstances. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Yes, we're going to face difficult times, but it isn't going to separate us from the love of God. It isn't going to separate us from the purpose of God, because it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. It matters that we belong to God and love him and have been called according to his purpose. Verse 36, accordingly it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are reckoned as sheep for the slaughter. But in all these things we are more than conquerors. Not being defeated, God is going to raise us from the dead. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And this is the persuasion that we need. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No, brethren, nothing will. The circumstances and difficulties of this world, we're going to see, compared to all eternity, are just a flash of time. So regardless of what it is, regardless of what we go through, God loves us. God has called us. And we are to stand still. We are to see the salvation of God. We are not to complain. And we are to go forward and serve God. So as this feast of unleavened bread comes to an end, keep this in mind, the very importance of this day. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.